Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And when you find your place and your passage, if you're physically able, would you stand with me? Out of respect for the Word of God, we're going to read verses 11 and 12 of Ephesians. Verses 11 and 12. We'll move right along here. Verses 11 and 12 of Ephesians chapter 1. You know, this has been, just for me personally, a blessed study. I've enjoyed it. I feel like we're, again, still just scratching the surface. But this is the study I had 2 weeks ago when I decided to put some extra paint on Brother Leonard's truck. And I didn't actually make that decision, but that's what happened. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Let's read them together. Ready? Begin. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. You may be seated. Remember, a few weeks ago, in our last lesson, we reviewed the subject of His divine purpose. Blank line there. His divine purpose. And we looked at verses 9 and 10. We looked at three items there. We looked at His firm intention. It talks about there the good pleasure of His will, which He purposed in Himself. The final dispensation. And we talked about each one of the dispensations briefly. I know Brother Becker has been studying the dispensations in Sunday school pretty thoroughly, Brother Jeff. Amen. And where are you now? You in law? Amen. Yeah. Just started in law. Amen. So if you want to be in Brother Jeff's class, you'll be in laws. Amen. In his class. Praise the Lord. And so the final dispensation is that last, we call it kingdom dispensation, that time when Jesus Christ rules and reigns here on earth. What a wonderful time that'll be. And then we talked about the full restoration at the end of verse 10. What is that? It talks about there that He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. So we close this passage of praise of God the Son, and really verses 4 through 6 are the praise of God the Father. 7 through 12 are praise of God the Son. And then we're going to look at 13 and 14, praise of God the Spirit. Amen. So this is the close of the passage of praise of God the Son. So notice with me, number one, if you would, the position. The position. Verse 11, it says there, the first two words are what, church? In whom? In whom? Okay. The phrase "in whom" is used 7 times in Ephesians. And I like to look at them each briefly, and you can write them down as we go. The first one is in chapter 1, verse 7. Okay? It says there, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Okay? Then we have verse number, I believe there, verse number 11, okay? Verse number 11. It says, that's the verse we read here, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance." Look at verse number 13, please. "In whom ye also trusted." Look at chapter 2, if you would, verses 21 and 22. Chapter 2, verses 21 and 22 says, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are builded together through an habitation of God through the Spirit." And then chapter 3, verse 12 is the last reference. It says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of Him." Okay? So the phrase "in whom" is used 7 times in Ephesians. The phrase "in Christ" is used 10 times in Ephesians. Okay? Let me, again, look at those while you're writing down. You have a blank line there. Chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, okay, to the saints which are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Look down at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, what? In Christ. Verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things, what? In Christ. Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse number 20. Which he wrought in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Verse number 13 of chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Chapter 3, verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6 says, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And then the last one is chapter 3, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay? And so, what is this talking about here in our text back in Ephesians chapter 1? It's talking about our position. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are in Christ. That is how God sees you, in Christ. We have a cross-reference here. If you hold your place in Ephesians and go over probably about 5 or 6 pages to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Oh, it's so important that you look at this verse. Look at it with me there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And here it is. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. One of our instructors in Bible college used to say, if God ever took his hand of protection off of you for just a moment, you'd be an oil slick. The devil would kill you so fast. And you know, he'd like to kill us, but we're in Christ. Hidden. Amen? Hidden in Christ. And so that's our position, okay? Secondly, there back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, not only do we have the position, but we have the portion. The portion says there in verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance. Okay? We are in Christ. Amen. Blank line there. We are in Christ. And thus, we have an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. We sung the a song tonight. I'm happy in the service of the King. We not only serve the King of Kings, but we're the children of the King. That's our portion. We have an inheritance. By the way, it's going to be better than any earthly inheritance anybody has ever given anybody. You take the inheritance of John D. Rockefeller. I'm going to tell you, heaven's better. Heaven's better. You take the inheritance of Bill Gates, who makes I don't know how many billion dollars every year and so many million dollars a minute and all that. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Okay? So our position, we're in whom? In Christ. Our portion, we have obtained an inheritance. The purpose, okay, verse 11. The purpose. Think about this. It says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. Number one, the wonder. the wonder that God thought on me before I ever was. If you really want to try to get your head around that, remember this: Jesus Christ loved you before there was a you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for every sin that you and I would ever commit. I'll tell you, that'll get you to wondering. And in a good way, wonder, awe. Amen? So, the wonder, being predestinated. The wisdom, verse 11, it says, in whom we have an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him. Okay? Secondly, not only the wonder, but the wisdom. The wisdom, according to the purpose of Him. That God in His wisdom had a purpose. God, the song Ron Hamilton wrote, when he became Patch the Pirate, when he had ocular cancer and they had to take his eye out, he wrote that wonderful hymn, God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying His servants or molding a man. And you know the chorus, oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistakes. He had a purpose. The wisdom of God is greater than men. Number three, it says there, who worketh all things, verse number 11. So we have the wonder, we have the wisdom, and then we have the working. Okay, God worketh all things. God not only has a plan, but He is actively working that plan. Actively working that plan. And then fourthly, the will. What is it that governs that plan, that puts that wisdom down? It's the literal will of God after the counsel of His own will. Amen. So the purpose there of God, the portion, the position. Number four, I love this part, the praise. The praise. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory. Luke 15, 7, 10, and 24. That is in the chapter of lost things. Remember the lost sheep, the lost silver, and the lost sons? Amen? Those three passages reveal that heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. Amen? That's exactly what they picture there. The first one is 1 in 100. The second one is 1 in 10. And the third one is really 2 out of 2. Really 1 out of 2. One repents, the other one doesn't. That heaven repents, or heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. In heaven, every one of those saved sinners will sound His praises. Can you imagine? You got your spot. Hold it there in Ephesians. Go to Revelation 5. We've read this many times. I'm sure you've read it many times. Around this season, I listened, Brother Oak, to Handel's Messiah. I listened to the Messiah. I like it. In this Christmas season, it's just one of the things. I remember the first time I ever heard it was at a little orchestra in Greenfield, Massachusetts. And when they got to the Hallelujah chorus at the very end, everybody stood up at that little orchestra. And I'm sitting there, and I brought my pastor's children just after my pastor's oldest son was taken in a car accident. I just wanted to do something with them that I could just do by myself. And I remember when everybody stood up and they started playing that violin. And I remember, I was getting chills thinking about Revelation chapter 5. And it says there in Revelation 5, verse number 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and think about this, and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. You know, I have written in my Bible a bunch. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Can you imagine the choir of heaven? The praises. The praises. The position, the portion, the purpose, the praise. And then number five, and this will really lead us into our next lesson, the principle. And that is principle, P-A-L, principle. First, principle. What does it say there in verse 12? That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Remember this passage that we're looking at here. Starting in verse 3 down through verse number 14 is the longest continuous sentence in the New Testament. Remember that. We studied that. In verse 3, it tells us, it's kind of like that thesis statement. Let me show you verse 3. God says, "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And then, for these next verses, he has been explaining the benefits, the blessings: adoption, election, predestination, redemption. Amen. Going down through that list. Here, for believers, blank line, for believers, all of these spiritual blessings, of verse 3, began in our lives when we trusted Jesus Christ. Now, in the mind of God, they were already there. But for us, the principal thing is this: who first trusted in Christ. Did you know not everybody is a child of God? Did you know that? Not just the bad people who blaspheme God are not His children. Here's the thing. If you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, He's not your Father. He wants to be. He wants to be. Amen. And Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So what it says. Galatians 3:26 says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." It's the principal thing. If you've never trusted Christ, you need to do it. It doesn't matter whether you're 6 or 60. You don't get these blessings and benefits until you first trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Next week, Lord willing, we'll begin to look at this passage, and in particular, the process of salvation. You see it there in verses 12, 13, and 14, and obviously the Holy Spirit's involvement in all. So, Miss Robin, how about rejoice in the Lord there for our invitation hymn? Father, thank you.